You don't need to turn back to it, but I want to read again that one verse that we use for our scripture reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 16, where the Bible says, "And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering." In the Old Testament, man approached God and got right with God and worshiped God through a system of sacrifices. God gave instructions, and he gave instructions for how it was all to be done. For example, God gave instructions about the altars those sacrifices were to be offered upon, how they were to be built. He told them to take stones on which no tool had ever come, and he told them the number 12 to take when the 12 tribes of Israel, and they made many altars in the book of Exodus and Numbers as they were traveling through the wilderness, of stones that they offered sacrifices on. Of course, told Moses how to make the altar that was in the temple, or the tabernacle, and then later on he told Solomon how to make the altar that was going to be in the temple. And he told him what kind of wood to make out of it, what kind of wood to make it up, and what to cover it with, and told Moses to cover it with brass. And so God gave instructions for the altar. He also gave instructions for the animals that were to be sacrifices, the lambs and the rams and the birds. He also gave instructions for when they were to offer sacrifices. There were sacrifices that were to be offered daily. There was to be a lamb that was to be offered in the morning and a lamb that was to be offered in the evening every day. There were different sacrifices that were to be offered in connections with the different feasts or holidays, you might say in our terminology, that the nation of Israel celebrated at the instruction of God. And on those holidays, God gave specific instructions as to a sacrifice that was to be offered. And then, of course, he gave instruction for the Day of Atonement, the one day a year that the priest could go into the Holy of Holies with the blood from a lamb that had been sacrificed and go to the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat that covered it, where the presence of God dwelt. And he would go into the Holy of Holies once a year with the blood from that sacrifice, making atonement or payment for the sins of the people for the past year. So he told them how to build the altar. He told them what animals to sacrifice. He told them when to sacrifice. He told them how to sacrifice. He told what parts of the animal to burn. He told them what parts of the animal to dispose of. He told them what to do with parts of the animal that were to be given to the priest as their harvest, so to speak, as their part, their living, their salary, so to speak, for being priest. God told them what part of the animals to give to them. And then he also told them what to do with the blood. There was very specific instructions for every sacrifice, what to do with the blood of the animal. He also told them that there were different sacrifices for different reasons. There was a trespass sacrifice. When you sinned, you had to offer a certain sacrifice in a certain way. There was something called the peace sacrifice, that you had to offer a certain animal in a certain way. There was a sacrifice for cleansing of the temple and a cleansing of a home. There was a sacrifice for when you just wanted to praise the Lord. And so, in the Old Testament, the way people approached God and the way people got right with God and the way people worshiped God was by following God's instructions to offer these sacrifices. Now, the most detailed instructions that were given by God is over in the book of Leviticus, Exodus and Leviticus. And he gave those instructions to Moses, all written down for our edification, for our knowledge. But even though the Bible doesn't say it, it strongly implies that even before Moses, even before he went up on Mount Sinai, even before he got the Ten Commandments, even before he got the instructions to build the tabernacle, even before he got all the instructions about the sacrifices, God had talked to his people about how to approach him. Again, it doesn't come out and say it, but you go back and you read in the book of Genesis chapter 4, where Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to God. And the Bible says that that Cain brought of the first of the fruits. He was a farmer, so he brought of the first of his crops. And Abel brought a lamb. He was a shepherd. He took care of the animals. And so he brought a blood sacrifice. And the Bible says that God had respect or accepted Abel's sacrifice, but did not accept or did not respect the sacrifice that Cain brought. And it talks about Cain's disobedience to God. So even before Moses, the very first group of human beings that lived on the face of this earth, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, God had given his people instructions for how to approach him, for how to worship him, for how to get right with him. And that way, that method was a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. I've talked to people before that talked to me about Cain. And they've asked the question. I said, they've asked the question, don't you think that Cain brought of the best of his produce? And I say, I think he did. I think he brought the very best that he had to offer of all the crops that he grew. He brought the very best. And they said, don't you think that he was sincere? Don't you think that he was really trying to please God and show God how much he cared because he brought the very best? And I said, yeah, I think he was. I think he was very sincere. I think he was trying to please God. But it was not God's way. Cain came to God and said, I know what you told me to do. I know you told me I needed to bring an animal sacrifice. But Cain was sort of like Ford. He had a better idea. No dispersions on Ford, but anyhow, he had a better idea. And he said, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. And I'll tell you, folks, God was trying to teach Cain just like he tries to teach people today, just like he's tried to teach people all in between. We do not approach him our way. We do not get right with him our way. We do not worship him our way. If we're going to approach God, if we're going to get right with God, if we're going to come to God and worship and praise him, you got to put aside what you think is right and put aside the desire that you have in your heart to do what you think might be good for God, and you got to come God's way. And in the garden, after they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, when Cain and Abel were bringing their offerings, God said, I want a blood offering. Cain may have been sincere. He may have been trying to please God, but he was disobedient to God. And it never works that way. Find another example. Before Moses, when Noah came off the ark, the Bible says that he built an altar. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Bible says there, and again in the book of Genesis, that God was pleased with Noah's sacrifice. And God blessed Noah. And God made some promises to Noah because Noah was obedient to approach God the way God said to come. Now, I want you to fast forward with me to Isaiah's day. The day that Isaiah, from where we read in the Bible, the day in which he lived. God in that day was still approached and still worshipped via this system of sacrifice. But in Isaiah's day, God added something. It was back in Genesis, and knowing what we know, if we go back and look in the book of Genesis, we can see it. I don't know that Cain and Abel, I don't know that Noah could see it, but knowing what happens today and knowing God's plan all the way, we can look back and see it. But in Isaiah's day, God began to talk about it. In Isaiah's day, God started to teach his people that one day there was going to be an ultimate sacrifice. One day, God himself was going to offer a sacrifice that would take the place and supersede the lamb in the morning and the lamb at evening. That would take the place and supersede of the birds and the bulls and all the animals that were killed in connection with the Jewish holidays. That one day God would send his very own lamb and his blood would be shed, and no longer would the priest need to go into the Holy of Holies on that day of atonement. No longer would he need to take the blood of a lamb or the blood of a bird or the blood of some other animal and go and stand before the mercy seat of God in the presence of God and offer that blood. Because God was going to offer a sacrifice. In fact, in the book of Hebrews it says, all those animals in the Old Testament, all the blood that was shed and all the sacrifices that were offered was just a foreshadow, was just a picture, was just a preview of what was coming, of what God was going to do in the sacrifice that he was going to offer. So we go back to our text verse, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 16, where the Bible says, "And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering." Again, I would remind you, it was written in a time when people approached God with sacrifices. It was written in a time when people got right with God by bringing the right kind of sacrifices. It was written in a day when people worshiped God by bringing the right sacrifices. But it was written in a day when God was already pointing to the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist talked about him, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It was written in a day when God was already pointing to the one that was going to come and die for every sin. It was written in a day when God was pointing to his only begotten Son, who he was going to send to die in our place. And God was was teaching the people, and he was teaching the people in this verse. Well, I got to tell you a little bit about Lebanon before I tell you what he was teaching them. Because if you don't know about Lebanon, you don't know what he's saying here in this verse when he says, "And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering," a burnt sacrifice. Lebanon, as you know, is a country, but it's also a mountain. In fact, the mountain makes up most of the country. It's a mountain that's 6 miles wide and 50 miles long. And back in the Old Testament days, and it's still this way a lot, but not as much as it was back in the Old Testament days, it was covered. This mountain was covered with trees. It was just a forest, mostly cedar trees. Mostly cedar trees, tall, straight, magnificent. On this mountain called Lebanon, in this country called Lebanon, there were millions and millions of feet of lumber. In fact, you go back and read in King David's day, and then go and also read in King Solomon's day, Solomon had 10,000 men a month working in Lebanon, cutting down cedar trees that he would use to build the temple and he would use to build his houses that he built. Just imagine, 10,000 men a month, month after month after month after month, cutting the trees of Lebanon, the cedar trees of Lebanon, and still there were some left. Also, in that forest of Lebanon, It was a hunter's paradise. At our father-son banquet last night, one of the prizes we gave away was, I think, a $35 gift certificate to Gander Mountain. And most of the guys wanted that. I mean, we had one prize that was more valuable than that. They didn't want that. They wanted that Gander Mountain. So, but Lebanon, it was a hunter's paradise because in those woods lived literally thousands and thousands of animals. Deer, wild pig, sheep, all sorts of birds. I mean, you just stop and think of the animals that you could name. And that woods were full of those animals. And so go back to our text verse. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. What that verse was saying to God's people, and what that verse is saying to us today, is this. What God was saying is, you go ahead and you cut every tree that grows on Mount Lebanon. Cut every one of them down. Every single tree. The big ones and the little ones and all of them in between. And you bring them to one place and you pile them on one pile to build a fire. And then you collect all the animals that live in those woods. Every deer and every bird and every pig and every other animal that lives in that woods, and offer them for a sacrifice. Offer them for a sacrifice to God. Offer them as a way to get right with God and to approach God and to worship God. Go ahead and get those millions and millions of board feet, pile them in that pile to burn a fire, and then get those millions and millions of animals and kill every one of them to lay on that fire to offer them as a sacrifice to God. And here's what the Bible says. All the wood in Lebanon is not sufficient. It's not sufficient to forgive one sin. You can build a fire and the flames can reach up to the sky. You can burn those millions and millions of trees. And it's not sufficient to make you right with God. Go ahead and get all those animals. Get every one of the animals. Kill them. Offer them for a sacrifice. And that verse says, it's not sufficient to approach God. It's not sufficient to get right with God. It's not sufficient to worship God. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament, all the animals in Lebanon are not sufficient. They won't do one thing to get you closer to God. And what God was teaching in that verse, He teaches throughout the Bible. If you could go cut all the trees from Lebanon, if you could go kill all the animals, it will not forgive your sin. It will not make you right with God. Because over and over in this book, the Bible teaches it is not what we do or what we can do or what we want to do that gets us right with God, that lets us approach God, that lets us worship God. It's not what we do. It's what God did. It's what we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. It's not of works that we can do, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You listen to me this morning. You get the message of the Bible. You understand the truth that's in the Bible. We are all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says there's a penalty. There's a debt that we owe for that sin. And that penalty or that debt is death. The Bible calls it death. But it's not just physically dying. It's spiritually dying. It's being separated from God. And you listen to me, every single person that's here this morning. I don't care if you've been here 100 times or if this is your first time this morning. You were made. You were created by God to fellowship with Him. You were made to be part of God's family. And I will tell you the truth. You can go out into the world. You can try everything the world has to offer. But until you form a relationship with Jesus Christ, your life will be empty. It'll be empty. There'll be a piece of you that will have a longing for something, and you may not know what it is, but you'll know there's something missing. I'll tell you what you're missing this morning. You're missing a relationship with God. It's the only thing that will fill that hole, it's the only thing that will fill that longing. Yeah, try to fill it up with the things of the world. And the Bible says sin for a season bringeth pleasure, but when that season is over, it bringeth death. So we're all sinners. The penalty for our sin is death. And there is nothing. I have just a one-point message this morning. If you're waiting for my 3 points, then you're not going to get them. Just 1 point this morning. There is nothing that you or I can do on our own to make us right with God. Go ahead. Let me put it in today's terms. We talked about Mount Lebanon and the wood and the animals. Let me put it in today's terms. Go ahead. Sell your house. Sell your car. Sell all your possessions. Gather up all your money and put it in one pile and offer it to God. And say, God, I'm offering you all my wealth, all my money, everything that I have. I want to be right with you. And God will say, not sufficient. Not sufficient. Go ahead, take all your good works. Take all the kindnesses and the sweet things you have ever done to any other person. All the nice words and all the kind deeds that you have done to other people. Pile them up in one pile. Offer them up to God and say, God, I'm giving you all the good things I've ever done in my life. I want to be right with you. And God says, not sufficient. Not sufficient. Go ahead. Take all your accomplishments. Take all your degrees. Take all your awards. Take all the honors that man has bestowed upon you and pile them up into one pile and offer them up to God and say, God, I brought all the things that I've accomplished. I brought all the honor that man has given to me. I want to be right with you. I want that relationship with you. And God says, not sufficient. All the wealth that we offer to God will not pay for one sin. All the good things that we do will not pay for one sin. What does the Bible say? All our righteousnesses, plural, in God's sight are as filthy rags. All the honors that have been bestowed upon us will not draw us one step closer to God. And you might say, well, the preacher, if I can't pay for it, if I can't earn it, if I can't give the honors that I've collected over the years, how can I approach God? How can I get right with God? What do I need to do? And I'll tell you, it's too late for you to do anything. God's already done everything that needed to be done. When Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived among men for 33 some years, and they took him to Calvary's cross, the Bible says that God the Father took every one of my stinking, rotten sins and put them on Jesus Christ. And then he took every one of yours stinking, rotten sins and he put them on Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, he paid the price of every one of my sins and every one of your sins. And before he took his last breath, he looked toward heaven and he said these words, "It is finished." And what he was saying is, hey, no more little lambs need to die. No more bulls need to be sacrificed. No more birds need to be offered on the altar. I paid the price. It's done. Nothing else needs to be done. And if you're here this morning and you still don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't need to bring anything. You just need to come. And you need to receive the gift that Jesus purchased for every single person on Calvary's cross. You might say, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know the sins that I've committed. You're right. I don't, but I don't need to, because I know the kind of Savior that died on the cross for your sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, listen to the Bible, is sufficient to cover every sin. Every sin. And if you're here today and you haven't taken God up on His offer, He says, it's a gift. I offer the gift of salvation to every single person. And if you haven't taken them up on that offer, would you do it today? I can't think of a better time than on July the 1st, 2007, at about 12:02 in the afternoon for you to get saved. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Would you this morning put aside all the things that have kept you back from God? Would you put aside your pride? Would you put aside the act that we try to put on in front of people? And would you just humbly come to Jesus Christ? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Would you come that way this morning? It's the only way that'll work. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray.